The following podcast is brought to you by the Village Zendo. For more information, visit villagezendo.org.
So, good evening, everyone. How nice it is to be among you again. I'm checking how our gallery works here. There's a sense in which I have nothing to say tonight. And at the same time, you know, as a person of Zen, there is something that needs to be said. So when the New York Times has a 60-point headline, you know something's up. And today's headline from the Times said, "Trump incites mob." Subtitle, "Rampage in the Capitol leads to evacuations." So, what's a good Zen person supposed to do? How do we respond to this state of affairs? I mean, I remember when I was probably in high school and, you know, heard this trope about democracies never last more than 200 years, I thought, well, let's see now, how many does that leave us? And but in thinking about that, I never considered that our democracy could be taken apart from within. I always thought that the danger was outside the U.S. And, those were the days of Russia and, you know, favorite enemy. Here we are. And we have people creating riots and demonstrations and causing uproar in the Capitol, in the Capitol building itself. What are we to make of this? A mob of loyalists urged on by President Trump stormed the Capitol on Wednesday, halting for hours Congress's counting of the electoral votes to confirm President-elect Joseph R. Biden Jr.'s victory, and prompting the police to evacuate lawmakers in a scene of violence and chaos that shook the core of American democracy. Shakes the core of American democracy. Who would have thought? So how do we respond to this? To begin some reflections on that question, I have pulled up the Mumon Kan, case number 5, Kyogen's Man Up a Tree. The case. Kyogen Osho said, "It is like a man up a tree hanging from a branch with his mouth. His hands grasp no bough, his feet rest on no limb. Someone appears under the tree and asks him, 'What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West?' If he does not answer, he fails to respond to the question. If he does answer, he will lose his life. What would you do in such a situation?" Mumon's comment, "Even if your eloquence flows like a river, it is of no avail. Though you can expound the whole of Buddhist literature, it is of no use. If you solve this problem, you will give life to the way that has been dead until this moment, and destroy the way that has been alive up to now. Otherwise, you must wait for Maitreya Buddha and ask him. Mumon has a verse. Kyogen is truly thoughtless. His vice and poison are endless. He stops up the mouths of the monks, and devil's eyes sprout from their bodies. So what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to do anything? Are we supposed to do nothing? In this situation, how can we respond in a way that is at all helpful? To speak or not to speak? To join a protest? Join a counter-protest? Is this time for another trip to Washington? I was just thinking about that, you know, today, of course. And I remember the first time I went to Washington. It was in 1963, I believe. The march on Washington, you know, with Martin Luther King and, you know, the civil rights issue. And then I remember I went back in 1967. It was over between Christmas and New Year's. I used my vacation, and we stood in front of the Capitol, and it was snowing. It was quite cold. And so we took shifts, you know, 3 or 4 hours at a time. We would stand and just be there, you know, in silent protest for getting out of Vietnam at that point. So is it time to go to Washington again? What can one do? And what is there to say? What is helpful in a time like this, a time when the best authority is calling for the insurrection of his own government, a time when the best voices are doing what you and I are doing right now, sitting around wondering, thinking, talking, sharing, wondering what would be helpful, what is the enlightened thing to do or the appropriate thing to do. And I find, you know, in so many ways, this koan, what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West, is exactly the same question as what shall we do with this chaos in Washington and in the entire country? What do we do to bring any kind of healing to our country at this time? If we could, what would we do? If we had a magic wand, what would we make happen? So I like it in the koan when basically Kyogen Osho said, it's like a man up a tree hanging from a branch with his mouth and hands grasping no bough, his feet rest on no limb. Someone appears under the tree and asks him, what's the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? So if you were hanging from a tree right now by your teeth, and if you had no hands to hold on to anything and your feet were not touching anything, and you were asked to answer what to do in this moment, what would you do? Speak now. If he does not answer, he fails to respond to the question. Actually, I would like to change that part of the koan a little bit in this way. If he does not answer, he will lose his life. If he does answer, he will lose his life. That's my input for the evening. Whatever we do, we will lose our life. And so the only question is, what do we want our life to say at this particular point in time and in history? Even if your eloquence flows like a river, it is of no avail. Though you can expound the whole of Buddhist literature, it's of no use. If you solve this problem, you will give life to the way that has been dead until this moment, and destroy the way that has been given a life up to now. So once again, we're confronted with life and death. How do we give life to life? And how do we acknowledge death where it lurks, in whatever form it is lurking? How do we give voice to the side of life? How do we treat the chaos, the uncertainty, fear, the outrage, the wonder of what to do in this time? I don't think there's a single answer, and certainly not a simple answer, but I would like to open it for sharing with each other our own experiences of living in this time, and in particularly in terms of our Zen practice. And how does that help us? How does our Zen practice help us in this time? Can we open it to others online? Are they able to unmute themselves, Bokushu?
No, but I can arrange that. So you want to engage in a mando, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so what I'd like to do, first of all, just note that this is being recorded. So if you don't wish to have your image recorded asking a question or making a contribution, please use the chat function if that's better for you. And if you wish to participate, just use the electronic raise hand, which is under participants, or just type your name in the chat and I'll unmute you.
Great, thank you.
You're welcome. So name in the chat or blue hand. So far I see no questions or comments, but if I'm missing you, please make it obvious. Diana has a question or point, and I'm going to invite her to please unmute herself if she can.
Hello, thank you. I'll just like to make a comment from a person that is far away from the situation, because I'm from Venezuela, living in Australia. However, I do hear the news, and It does affect me because I had the personal experience of seeing that in my home country, Venezuela. That's the reason why I cannot live in Venezuela, and that's the reason why I'm here in Australia. So I've been suffering the breakdown of democracy for 20 years, and it's scary to see it in the United States. And I just want to share this sensation of anxiety and fear that we have toward the problems of the world. And I think it's like a roller coaster that comes and goes, and how important it is to connect ourselves to the practice of meditation and to isolate the present worries into a wider feeling of being alive and actually trying to love the privilege of just having one more day, because it is so important to be alive despite of the war, of the tension. It is a gift to be alive. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Diana.
Other folks?
If you like commenting on the topic, yes, someone was going to speak.
I have a couple of hands. I didn't see them. Sorry.
Okay,
so I'd like to invite Ryoshin to please unmute himself, if he can.
Yes, I am now unmuted. Hi. You asked just for, I don't know that I have a question, although sometimes I'll find a question as I talk, but I just, my reactions or responses, I found myself alternating between, over the last 24 hours, between anger and sympathy. Anger at just all of the many people who have, from Trump on down to his many enablers and the people that voted for him, that have really brought about the situation that we culminated yesterday. And to just a feeling of both equanimity, I guess, and sympathy that, you know, so many of these people have been misled. And don't really know sort of the character of the person that they support. They're angry themselves at the situation in the world, and their anger is misdirected and flaring up in by marching into Nancy Pelosi's office and putting their feet up on what they think is her desk. I've just been going back and forth between those two emotional states. I tend to dwell more in the sympathy and compassion side of it, but the other side wells up, just because of my great love of this country and sadness, I guess, at how we've gotten to where we are. So that's how I have been coping for the last 24 hours with the news.
Thank you, Ryoshin.
Thanks, Ryoshin.
Did you have a comment, Kaku, or should I call the next person?
Go on to the next, please.
The next person in order is Kondo. If you wish to unmute yourself, Kondo, thank you. Not hearing you, not hearing you, Kondo. Try to unmute. Try now.
There we go. Thank you, Bokushu. And thank you, Kaku. I think the feelings that I've been ping-ponging back and forth between has been anger and grief. And sometimes I found myself with my eyes filled with tears. I've also found myself going back to an old habit of mine that is voraciously, obsessively reading as much and seeing as much as I possibly could. And of course, I've remembered that in 1995, we had our first sample of a, well, frankly, delusional militia type who blew up the Murrah building in Oklahoma City, Tim McVeigh. And I remember that initial news reports, this is not remembered by most people, initial news reports were that it was a, you know, act possibly by a Muslim terrorist, you know. And that is so typical of us. We forget, you know, that pogo line, we've met the enemy, he is us. Now, I don't know who's an enemy here, who's not, that's not very Zen. But I've been thinking about this for some time now, and reminded too of what Juryu said this morning after the morning sit, which was a comment that whatever things were like before, things are different, they've changed, it's not the same. And I think part of my grief is about, you know, wanting it to be the same as before, whatever that was, however I deluded myself in my white privilege, in my apartment, with my belongings and stuff like that. So, you know, that's not really a question. That's more of a, that's where I am right now. Anyway, and thank you so much, Kaku.
Thanks, Kondo.
Go ahead, Nancy. Unmute if you can.
Yes, okay, I think I just unmuted. I had, I'm a retired psychotherapist, and I was having a conversation today with another psychotherapist, and she made a comment that I thought, no, I'm not going to unmute. I'm going to leave that video off. And she made a comment that I thought was really quite compelling. She has lived in the South and worked very deeply with a number of people. And she made the comment that the folks that stormed the Capitol that are so open to the leadership, quote unquote, of Trump are people that have deep, deep wounds, and that she felt, in knowing folks the way that she did from her work, that this really goes back to the Civil War and the fact that the South has not come to terms with the fact that they lost the war, that everything was burned. I mean, the troops came in and destroyed everything there, and they were left and, you know, abandoned in a sense. And that this really fits in very, I'm not sure this is, well, I hope this will be helpful, that there is as ancestral loss and trauma that we bring along with us. And I think Zen speaks to that very much so. And that a lot of our our ceremonies of atonement and so on speak to letting go of these terrible wounds that we've committed or have received or whatever. And I think that that's a way that we can think of this, that these folks are carried along by this wave of history, and that if each one of us, if I could find someone who was of that ilk that would have stormed the Capitol, that the only way that I've heard of is to change a heart, is to, you know, is to get to know them and to listen and to try to understand as we do in terms of bearing witness. So I think that's another thing besides atonement, but also bearing witness to what is going on with these folks, these individuals that they're acting out in this destructive way. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nancy. Shozan, let me make it possible for you to unmute. Try now, please, Shozan. Thank you.
Thank you. Wow, I'm full of so many emotions listening and watching the events of yesterday and listening to things today. And a lot of anger and trauma comes up and gets triggered in me watching this. What I see is white supremacy in action. And I ground myself in our practice in the precepts. One of the things I really hope to do is to speak the truth and to wake up from my collective, my personal delusion and the collective delusion. And in speaking the truth, I think that we can help each other to wake up from the delusion. Just like I think a lot of people who were there at the Capitol yesterday were enabled each other in their delusion, I think if we don't speak the truth, we are complicit in letting them maintain their delusions. Speaking to what Nancy said about going back to the Civil War, I totally agree. This is ancient history that's being played out because we haven't spoken the truth. We haven't woken up from the lies we've told ourselves as a nation. And witnessing those things, it was like, it's sort of like watching a Klan rally for me personally. It's very traumatizing. And I just moved outside of DC, and we actually have a house blocks from there on Capitol Hill that we are renovating right now. And I'm very grateful to be outside of the city right now, because I can't imagine if I was at home and those people were walking around in my neighborhood, basically. So I try to remember the precepts to keep myself on equal ground. I'm not better than, I don't know what people are going through. I know people are deeply wounded and that they're acting out of deep wounds. But I do think that we have to wake up from our delusions and see where we're all connected and how we're all wounded and we're all united in this and hurt by these delusions. So I could go on, but I'll stop. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Shozan.
Do we have other mechanical hands or names in the chat we'd like to comment or ask a question?
I think Anne raised her hand.
I'm seeing Anne, so let me. Whose hand did you think you saw?
Anne Donoff.
I can't hear.
Anne Donoff.
Yeah, same person. Thank you. And please unmute. Thank you.
How's that? Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
So I'm new to this group. And so I guess I'll start with an apology if what I say isn't very zenny. But I don't feel any compassion for the people who are white supremacists. And I think that there are absolute moral principles that we all fail at adhering to. And I really have very limited experience with religion, but I'm guessing at the heart of many religions are those very similar core principles. And I don't think that there are moral equivalents across the board. I think that there are thoughts and actions that are of a higher worth than others. And I think that what was done yesterday and in the months preceding it and in the years preceding it and in the hundreds of years preceding it are unacceptable. And I think that the part that I have absolutely, so I don't accept what was done yesterday. The thing I have absolutely no idea about is I find myself, you know, grasping with my mouth on that branch. And I have tried to use my life to be authentic, to be present in the work that I've always done. I just retired from 40 years being a physician, and I've tried my darndest to be good at that and compassionate in that role. I'm at a complete and utter loss. And I was sort of hoping this group would help me know what to do. So I'm disappointed. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do to try to make the world better. I don't know what to do. So if anybody has any ideas, I'm happy to let go, you know, to not speak, to speak. Because I do think you're exactly right that, you know, the only thing that's worth doing is living. But I don't know how to make change in the world. As much as I am, absolutely have no, I don't have the heart that some of you have to, you know, to find compassion for the people who did what they did yesterday. But I do have a very deep interest in trying to figure out how to dialogue with them and try to change them, because I frankly think I'm better than that. And so I'd like to be able to figure out how to have a conversation with people to bring them to a more moral position on life. It's not okay to, I mean, from the soup to the nuts, from Trump to the police who, you know, I mean, you've all seen the pictures, what they did for, you know, the cops all over the place for the Black Lives Matter protest and nobody around for an insurrection. It's not okay. It's just not okay. Anyway, sorry.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you. Any other comments or points or questions? I wonder if we could bring this to a close then, but if I could, I'd like to quote our Enkyo Roshi, who said something once to me about compassion, because that word has been invoked a number of times in people's comments, and it really stuck with me. And she said something, I'm gonna mangle it, but what I remember her saying was, compassion doesn't mean giving people what they want. And I think that's a really, that had a powerful impact on me, and I think it's very operative in this context. And I'll resist the temptation to go any further with it than that. Thanks.
I would like to give a more opportunity for other people to speak, if you don't mind. I think that, you know, we're all wondering what in the world can be said at this point. You know, there's no requirement that final solutions of any kind, you know, are on the agenda. But what we're all experiencing is, you know, the turmoil and the conflict and the directionlessness that is resulting in, you know, what's happened so far.
Well, we have
a couple. I think there's, yeah, go ahead.
We have a couple of people, so why don't we have them comment or ask?
Yes.
So, Bonnie, if you're able to unmute.
Okay. Thank you. I've been really appreciating this discussion. One of the things I wanted to point out is that we are, you know, we heard yesterday the news from Georgia, and that was in a way swept away from all of the bad news, what was happening. But I guess I want to say we are more powerful than we know. We have huge successes. And there's some way, you know, people have pointed out that there's some way that, you know, Trump behaves like a narcissist ending a relationship where he kind of takes up all the mental space. But that in itself is a bit of a delusion because, you know, we will get to January 2020 and we will all be experiencing a somewhat different reality. And I guess I just wanted to point out, it feels nightmarish what happened yesterday, but that was one point I wanted to make is that I think it's important to put in context the fact that we, you know, when we take political action, you know, the outside reality does change. It's important to bear that enormous power in mind. And the other thing I wanted to say is I think a very great deal about how now I understand history so much more. I think I used to believe that the United States had a certain exceptionalism that I think many of us did. It was living in a state of innocence. And now I understand that we live among people who are very cynical, some who will, you know, exploit others' vulnerabilities and manipulate them. And there's something to me, I guess, that I feel closer to the past and to people who lived in the past and suffered in the past. I no longer feel so separate from them. I don't feel that the United States is so different from places I've read about. And there's something to me, maybe that's a bit detached, but there's something consoling in that for me. So thank you for listening.
Thank you. Monica, I see, has a raised hand. Monica?
Monica, try to unmute, please.
Can you hear me now? Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Good. I wanted to say that I was impressed that after the traumatic day, the members of Congress went back to work and finished the session and confirmed Joe Biden as president. And I feel that there's something there that actually, I was surprised and impressed and more sustained by that than I expected. And I feel it's like the, did you have your meal, now wash your bowl. So I feel like there's this tremendous rift and also just picking up and continuing with the next thing that we have to do. And they did that. I think that was heartening. Thank you.
Thank you, Monica. And then I believe Yuka wants to contribute. See if I can find her. Go ahead, Yuka. You can unmute.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, I changed my mind. But, well, I really appreciate hearing the anguish and Kaku opening it up for us. I feel like I need to make distinctions. You know, bad behavior has to be stopped, but by whom? And what do we do? And I'm all for understanding, but people have to want to have a conversation with us before we can go around healing them. I can't get out of my mind how kind Mr. Trump was to his violent supporters. And I kept thinking, wow, he's capable of this. If only he could direct such forgiveness to people in prison or these so-called bad people that he dehumanizes. But, you know, I think, you know, understanding historically is important, but I keep just like, I'm also heartened by the Republicans resigning, by the fact that Congress continued into the night, the reporting, and yet it's not enough. It's not enough. The police were not enough. The condemnation is not enough, and it's frustrating. And while I appreciate the precepts, I think we have to be wise about how to direct them, where the action really comes.
Thank you, Yuka.
So I'm just noticing the time, Kaku, and we still have a service to conduct.
Let me make one more comment, which is a thought that I had, that we are in a stage of unorganization. That the issues have not yet been articulated in ways that we can, find or create where we want to belong or, you know, where we want to stand. And I think that means that there is absolutely a need for a conversation that comes from a place of seriousness about how we will go forward and see what that brings. Obviously, 76 million people is not to be sneezed at, and so there's a lot of work to be done, and we need to be thinking creatively about what that work might look like.